Welcome, everyone, to the Jefferson County Podcast for the People. I'm your host today, Helen Hayes. I'm the Director of Public Information for Jefferson County. And with us today, we have Dr. Greg Davis, who is the Chief Coroner and Medical Examiner for Jefferson County. And we have Darlene Traffitstedt. I hope I said that right, Darlene. She is with Jefferson County Department of Health, and she is the Medical Director. And then we have Bill Yates, who is the Chief Deputy Coroner for Jefferson County. I haven't had you guys on a podcast yet, and so I want to welcome you. And I wish we had a happier topic to talk about, but you guys have seen some pretty interesting trends and disturbing trends when it comes to overdosing in the community. What have you started to notice? And I guess, Dr. Davis, let's just start with you. What are you seeing?
Well, we've had more overdoses in the past couple, 3 years since the COVID pandemic began than we've ever had in the history of this office. Noticeably more, markedly more. That is actually the continuation of a trend that began really in about the year 2000. There was a slow and steady increase. Then in about 2015 or so, the mid-2010s, there was a sudden jump in overdose deaths, and that's continued. And then it jumped further again during the pandemic.
And you guys have done some interviews with some news stories that have mentioned the shift in the demographics on where these deaths are occurring. Can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing there?
I interpret your question to mean where the deaths are occurring. It could be both geographically or within people groups. So geographically, the deaths are occurring throughout Jefferson County, primarily where the people are. You know, we have more deaths where there are more people, fewer deaths where the county is sparsely populated. But the deaths are throughout the county. There isn't some local area where these overdose deaths are occurring. You can contrast that in the way people sometimes will see that map at the end of the year that show where homicides have occurred in a city, and there'll be parts of town that everyone knows are more dangerous, and that tends to be where the homicides are. The overdose distribution isn't that way. The overdoses are occurring everywhere throughout the county. So it's a pervasive problem in that way. There have also been some changes recently. I've already mentioned that COVID, for various reasons, has caused an increase in deaths from overdoses in Jefferson County. That's true nationwide. There's also been a shift in the past few years to with a change within the Black community to more deaths from methamphetamine, or at least where methamphetamine is present. Historically, that was not the case, but since about 2000, the mid-2010s, it's begun to shift, and methamphetamine has become a drug of use within the Black community here in Jefferson County.
So what drew the initial media attention to this? You guys started adding these numbers into the regular reports that you do?
I'm going to let Bill start with that answer. There may be some others of us that add on to it.
We work closely with other entities in our county that work with those who have addiction to drugs and are trying to get out in the community and find those areas where they can work with and help have prevention in those areas. And so while there's an incredible amount of good work being done, unfortunately, in the past just a few years, as Dr. Davis was saying, the numbers just keep rising. And so we were trying to determine what else are some things we can do. And I believe that getting the message out there that these overdoses are occurring can be a crucial point. And to what Dr. Davis said, the most concerning to me was that demographic shift in the Black community, where we saw significant percentage changes in 2019 and 2020, where we believe the problem with that is we believed at first that the user did not know what they were getting. So those at the health department and those working with people who have addiction were trying to sound the alarm that there is a dangerous drug out there that is very potent, very addictive, and you might not realize that that's what you're taking, and it can cause death quickly. I saw that our community focuses on social issues, which rightly so we should. We've had the pandemic. We've had racial strife in our country. There's been issues with just income and the value of the dollar. But while we seem to have anxiety and worries about that, the whole time in the work that we're doing in the background, behind all of that, the overdoses are just continuing. And they're not just continuing, they're increasing. And so we just wanted to make it more public that there is an issue out there.
No, I think that's good.
And if I may add, I've mentioned the numbers. Bill's just mentioned the numbers, but I think I probably should actually tell you some numbers. So back in 2000, 2001, we had 67, 68 overdose deaths during those years, each year. By the mid-2000s, that number had gone up to about 100 deaths per year. By 2010, it was 120, 130 deaths in a year. Then in 2015, it suddenly jumped. That corresponded with the introduction of fentanyl in the place of heroin as a drug being sold illicitly for consumption. So we went then from 135 deaths or so in the 2010 to 260, or rather 259 in 2015. We hovered there in the 250s, 270 range. And then when COVID came, we jumped to 300. And last year, this is 2021. We haven't yet got all of our numbers for 22. In 2020, we had 302 deaths. In 2021, that jumped to 401. Deaths.
That's significant.
It is. It's a huge jump. And it's true nationwide as well. Nationwide, there are just over 100,000 deaths from overdoses. And another reason to draw attention to it, just to kind of put it in perspective in my head, I've been following, as I'm sure many people have, the earthquake that occurred recently in Turkey. And the death toll from that is now up to 33,000 people. That's an unimaginable loss to me, an abrupt, unimaginable loss. And so it gets attention. But we have three times that many people dying every year in the United States, and we've just become numb to it. And it's something that we shouldn't be numb about. We should still register this as a terrible and needless loss of life. And see what we can possibly do to try to reverse that.
Well, I think that's a great lead into Dr. Trappenset over at the Jefferson County Department of Health. What can be done to help, educate people that this fentanyl is out there? Do they know it? What are you guys seeing?
So first of all, I want to say we talk a lot about numbers, but we have to remember that each one of those is a human being with a family and friends and coworkers and neighbors. And so the impact that this is having on our community is so much greater than the 401 lives that we lost in 2021 and the even more that we lost in 2022. So it is of utmost importance to us from a public health standpoint that our community really be aware of what's going on. So in the past, people thought of people that were at risk of overdose as those who were using IV drugs. So now that is not the case. So now our youth are at risk of overdose from being sold counterfeit pills on Snapchat or another social media platform that are contaminated with fentanyl. We have heard of youth that thought they were using marijuana-based products that actually had fentanyl in them. So there's a pretty public case out of Selma that was what was thought to be a THC product that was contaminated with fentanyl. So I think the public has got to realize that this is not the epidemic of 10 years ago. This is a completely different situation that we're in now. And if you use a substance that you did not obtain yourself from a pharmacy or a healthcare provider's office, in our market right now, there's a chance that it could be contaminated with fentanyl. And the public, parents really have to have those conversations with their middle schoolers and high schoolers and college students. And we just have to increase awareness about that.
You know, we didn't talk about the age of these people dying. Are you seeing, what is the age group that we're talking about? Is it trending younger?
Well, we look at average age. And so our average age, when we look at either EMS runs for overdose or ER visits for overdose, is still in the mid to upper 30s, so around 37 years old. But when you look at the data, there is some bimodal distribution of the data, at least in the EMS runs and ER data, where you've got some younger and then some older in their 60s or, you know, that age group. And so your average ends up being in your mid to late 30s.
And Dr. Treffenstadt mentioned how important the one person is. Each one person matters. And we see that, too, that it tends to be people in their late 20s, say 30s or 40s, but used to it was unheard of for us to have a teenager that would overdose. That's no longer the case. We do get teenagers that die from overdoses. And we have older people. We actually often have had people in their 60s that would overdose now and then. Now we just have more of them.
Wow. How horrific is it to tell that family what happened?
I'll answer that. It is tough to tell that family, but when it comes to our families who have loved ones that die of overdose, it is a little different than other cases we investigate. Most of our cases, most of our decedents, we'll call them a case, call them decedent, they have a general common thread amongst most of the decedents, and that is a lengthy drug addiction, and then all that comes along with that. So being disconnected from friends and family and community, not taking care of themselves, which causes them to have more acute healthcare events, and seeking help from emergency room or EMS. And also they have trouble with employment, possibly later have some mental health issues because of drug use. There's usually this very long, sad story. So when we do get a hold of the family, which with our drug overdose cases, sometimes it's difficult to find family because they are so disconnected. But when we do get a hold of them, it's not always a shock to them. They were expecting at some point in the future to get this call or to have this person show up at their door, at their house, to tell them that their loved one has passed. That's different from our sudden and traumatic deaths, a car wreck or unfortunate homicide. Drug abuser has had a long time of suffering this illness, and it's had great effect on the family. I've seen, in a way, relief with the family, that because I think the family is sitting, they're going day to day just expecting this to possibly happen. And so that for the family, that's got to be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dr. Treffenstadt, what can someone do or what can a family do if they suspect drug use on the early end or even anywhere? What would you suggest people do to try to get somebody some help?
There are so many free resources in our community, and that's one thing that we've worked really hard is to make sure that cost or insurance status is not a barrier to people being able to access resources. So if you have a loved one that is potentially using substances, the first thing that I encourage you to do is to get naloxone. Naloxone is an opioid overdose reversal medication. It is available for free through our website. It is a nasal spray that is very easy to use and very safe and can save a life. So when someone gets fentanyl or another opioid, it stops their breathing, and that's how they pass away. Their breathing slows down and then stops, and then their heart stops. Naloxone is really a miracle medicine when you see it used in a person that looks for all practical purposes like they are passing away or are passed away, and then you spray a medication in their nose, and in about 2 to 3 minutes, they wake up. for those that have people around them or those that are willing to just be a bystander and potentially save a life at a gas station or a restaurant. These overdoses are occurring in public places and private homes. You know, you may have a chance to save a life by spraying a medication into someone's nose, which is so easy. That is the first thing. For those that are in the active use of substances, we do offer fentanyl test strips on our website as well. Those are also free, and that is makes it possible for someone to test the substance that they are going to use for fentanyl. And we know through studies that have been done in other states that if it tests positive, that people are likely to change their use behavior to make it less likely that they suffer an accidental overdose. We have a free 24/7 helpline in the state of Alabama that is answered by those that are in recovery. So if a parent is at a loss for how to help a friend, or if a person is desperate in the use of substances and wants to get help, that 24/7 helpline will be answered by somebody who has been there and they know what it's like to fight this battle. And they are really wonderful to help people get to the resources they need. Jefferson County is very blessed to have the Recovery Resource Center, which is housed over at Cooper Green. That is a free navigational organization where they will assess someone's use of substances and then help navigate them into treatment. And just navigating that system, whether you're insured or uninsured, is very difficult. And the Recovery Resource Center will walk a person through navigation to get to what they need.
Those are all really good resources, and we'll make sure we put links to those and that state phone number in the show notes for this podcast. Thank you for that. Truly kind of a horrible thing that we're seeing. Thank you guys so much for bringing it to the forefront and talking about it. Any last thoughts of things that we haven't, you know, talked about related to this issue?
I'll start. What breaks my heart is to see, it's my responsibility to examine the bodies of people who have died and then test and determine what substances are present. And it breaks my heart to see person after person, day after day, that didn't have to die when they did. And I just, I urge people not to start if you haven't started. And if you have begun, then to seek these resources that Dr. Chaffinstadt has shared with us, because Darlene, Bill, and I, all of us want to see this come to an end. It doesn't have to be this way, and I hope that things will change.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, there's still so much stigma around substance use, and we've got to move past that. This is affecting our community. It's affecting all segments of our community, all socioeconomic statuses, neighborhoods, races, genders, and age groups. And we've got to be willing to talk about it openly as a community. The health department and, you know, the coroner's office, we can't solve this by ourselves. This is really an all hands on deck call for churches and schools and neighborhood associations and fraternities and sororities and social organizations. We got to do this together. We're losing too many valuable members of our community, and their lives are worth it. Their lives are worth us fighting this together as a community and changing what we're seeing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you guys for your time today. I know you're all incredibly busy. Thank you so much for joining us. And we want to thank everybody for listening to the Jefferson County Podcast for the People. If you have a topic that you want to hear more about, please email me. My email address is hayshaysh@jccal.org. And we will see you next time on the Jefferson County Podcast for the People.